بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. To all of the viewers of Deen TV. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors, the bounties, the gifts that He has bestowed upon us. And we place salawat and taslim upon the best of creation, the master of creation, and the seal of prophethood, the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, for all of these past few months that we've been speaking about the Nabi alayhi wa sallam, I hope that for myself, as a reminder for myself and to you as well, that at least we try our best to try to follow in certain of the aspects of the life of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's beautiful to tell stories, but we tell it in order to be inspired and encouraged to take upon the sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to understand the value and the worth of the things that we have today. It's because of the difficulty and the torment and the challenges that the Nabi alayhi wasallam all went through in order for us to receive what we have today, and that is in the form of the sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we continue as the last time we spoke about the Nabi alayhi wasallam now given the wahi, and now he calls his people in secret in order to make sure that the Muslimin are not attacked or harmed in any way. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we continue that story and we deal with the phase when the Nabi alayhi sallam goes public with his message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after at least 3 years of receiving the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi alayhi sallam is now ordered to convey the message openly and publicly to everyone, but specifically to start over his family. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the whole Quran in Surah Al-Shu'ara, ayah 214, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ وَاخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and call upon your ashira. Ashira, another word for ashira is ahl or usra. Ashira means your people in the essence of your family, those that are related to you, those that are close to you. So the Nabi alayhi sallam is now given the order, call those that are close to you, meaning your family, as Sayyidi Ya Rasulullah, call them to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-aqrabeen, but not any. Now you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used two words, ashira and al-aqrabeen. So it wasn't just anybody that the Nabi alayhi sallam would call, but those that are most close to him, because we know at that time there were certain people that were against the Nabi alayhi sallam, even though they were family, like for instance Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab, the cursed one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Al-Masad, he was family, but yet he was against the Nabi alayhi sallam, yet the Nabi alayhi sallam called him to this deen as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making sure and telling the Nabi alayhi sallam to call those that are close to you, that you can trust, that you know that they won't harm the other Muslimin, they will not tell upon the other Muslimin in order for them to be tortured and so on, because people lost their lives. I mean, look at Ammar ibn Yasir and his parents, the first shuhada, the first actual fact, the first person to ever be a martyr in Islam was a woman. You know who? The mother of Ammar ibn Yasir, Sumayya. That woman, wallahi, she, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed will reward her and give her Jannah. I believe that. Why? Because she was the first shaheedah, and she was the one that believed the complete conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why she could face the torment and the punishments and the torture that Abu Jahl placed upon her, and she died as a martyr. Now we look at that and we see that the Rabbi alayhi sallam is now ordered to give over the message to those that are close to him, especially his family that are close to him. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ وَاخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And lower your wings, meaning be easy, and you know, don't be in a rush, or don't let the Muslimin feel as if this deen is so heavy. And this is one of the wisdoms of the Rabbi alayhi sallam, taking it step by step. تَدَرُّجًا. Sayyidina Rabbi alayhi sallam took this ummah tadarrujan, step by step, because it is never did the deen come one time upon the Muslimin. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and He knows that we're weak. He knows that we have our desires. He knows that we have our weaknesses. We have all of these things. Wa khuliqa al-insanu da'ifa. Mankind has been created weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure that this ummah is going to be taught, but by a pace, step by step. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاخْفِرْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and lower your wings for the true believers, as in make things easy for them to a certain extent, so that they may be able to live and uphold this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Nabi alayhi sallam now answers the calling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has to go and call the people to this deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even describes this in the whole Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. The Rabbi Sallallahu is in order, فَصْدَعْ meaning don't take note, don't worry too much, keep on to what you are doing. You know, don't let this stop you. فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, continue in what you are ordered to do, meaning calling people to Islam. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ, and don't take note, leave of those that are the non-believers. And this is a lesson for Jamaat al-Muslimin. You know, when we're doing something good and positive, when you find people criticizing, criticize. To criticize someone is not a problem, but it has to be construction. Construction, it has to be based upon adab, it has to be on akhlaq, and that's why they say constructive criticism is what is needed, not a negative criticism or something just because you have a problem with a person. No, this deen is about giving nasiha, yes, ad-deen al-nasiha, but we do it sincerely for the sake of loving the person. So you do it in the way that you want to be approached. That is the way of Islam, is that you treat your brother like you treat yourself. When we give advice, when you call people this deen, we do it with wisdom, and that is what the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So when you find people that are trying to, you know, slander, trying to cause fitna, trying to cause all of these, this and ghiba and namima and all of these different things which is completely disliked in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't worry about these people, leave of these people. These people, no matter what they try, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, His nur, His light of this deen is going to complete, even if it is dislikable to those that are non-believers. Even though it's non-believers in that ayah, but we find even Muslimin sometimes fall into the mistake of slandering and causing fitna and trying to stop a person from doing good, doing khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Work together upon what is good and right, and do not work upon what is evil and bad, that's going to cause a fitna, or it's going to cause chaos or corruption, all of these bad things. This is not what the deen of Islam is about. This deen is about, I always say, this deen is about not just to show who is a Muslim, but to show who is a true human being. That is what Islam is about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now informing and telling the Prophet that whatever the mushrikeen are trying to do, don't worry about them, leave them off, continue in what you are doing, in the positive way that you are doing, with the sincerity that you are doing, with the firmness that you are doing, and you convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Rabbi alayhi salam then one day stood on the mountain, or at least the hill of As-Safa, where the people go for Hajj, you know, when you go for Safa and Marwa, and don't do the same mistake. One time I remember one of the brothers narrated the story to me that when they went on for Hajj, at least for Umrah, and the brother said, look, he heard he must do it 7 times, Safa and Marwa. So he did it 7 times, Safa and Marwa, 1, 2, 3. No, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That is the 7 times. So don't make the same mistake, min fadli. So the Nabi alayhi salam stands on As-Safa and he calls upon his family. He calls upon his family. He says, Ya Bani Fahr, Ya Bani Adi. So he speaks it to his family. And this narration is actually narrated by some of the Sahaba. He says, حَتَّى اجْتَمَعُوا فَجَعَلَ الَّذِي لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَنْ يَخْرُجْ يَرْسُلُ رَسُولًا لِيُنْذِرُ مَاهُ. So in narration, he says that even though there were some people that were not able to attend the call and attend that meeting that Nabi alayhi salam called for, they would send their representatives in order to go stand and see and check what is happening exactly. So the family, all of the family of Nabi alayhi salam, some of the different tribes, because we know they were all connected. The whole Quraysh is connected. Why? Because they come from Nabi Ismail alayhi salam. So they're distant family, you know, cousins, second cousins, and so on like that. This was the whole. But we know that the specific family of the Nabi alayhi salam, specifically called Ahlul Bayt, was those household Nabi alayhi salam, is for instance Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, the Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan wal Hussein, Ali Zain al Abideen, Ja'far al Sadiq, all of these people, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, also Hamza radiallahu anhu. These were the household of the Nabi alayhi salam, of course. And all those as well of the Zawjat, the mothers of the true believers, and that is the wives of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now we're speaking about the distant family. So the Nabi alayhi wa sallam is calling upon his distant family. He says, Ya Bani Adi, Ya Bani Fahr, حتى اجتمعوا فجعل الذي لم يستطع أن يخرج يرسل رسولا لينظر ما هو. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Nabi alayhi wa sallam has everybody standing on one hill or one place. And then he says, أرأيتم لو أخبرتكم أن خيلا بالوادي تريد أن تغير عليكم أكنتم مصدقي. The Nabi alayhi salam then calls upon his family, he says, if I had to tell you that there was an army behind this hill and they were getting ready in order to attack you, would you believe me? He's asking his family, and then they reply, he said, قالوا ما جربنا عليك كذبا. He says, they said, at least we've never heard from you ever a lie, because the Nabi alayhi salam was known as what? As-sadiq al-amin, the most honest, most trustworthy person that anybody knew at that time. And let me be honest, he was the most trustworthy and honest person for all creation. The Rabbi alayhi salam kana sayyidul khalq, he was the master of mankind, he was the best of mankind. The Rabbi alayhi salam al-amin, as-sadiq al-amin, and they say, of course, we've never heard anything bad that came from, never did you utter a lie, never did you ever say something that was corrupt. We know that you're a person of honesty and modesty and truth. So the Rabbi alayhi salam then tells him, if that is the case, fa inni nadhirul lakum, then I tell you, I am a warner to you, I came to warn you about the punishments that await you. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Rabbi alayhi salam was not just a warner. Gojakum min afusikum inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. So the Rabbi alayhi salam gave glad tidings, and he was a person that warned. But because Quraysh all the time in their stubbornness did not want to believe in the Rabbi alayhi salam, the Rabbi alayhi salam tell them, I am a warner to you, I am telling you that there is consequences to your actions, you will be held accountable for your actions on the day of Qiyamah. Not anything, whether it be small, insignificant, every single thing will be shown and be held accountable on the day of Qiyamah. Every second of your time will be held accountable. So therefore, we need to use our time very well. So the Nabi alayhi salam is telling them, I'm a warner for you. I'm trying to warn you about the punishment, because the Nabi loves mankind. The Nabi alayhi salam loves humanity, Muslim, non-Muslim. He loves everybody. So he's warning everybody, and he says, نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيرٌ. I bring you a warning of an عَذَابَ الشَدِيرٌ, that a punishment, a severe punishment, punishment is also coming ahead. So Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Nabi alayhi salam, we know, he says then, تَبَّا لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. Abu Lahab then tells and shouts out while the Nabi alayhi salam is speaking, he says, تَبَّا لَكَ, cursed be upon you. Is this why you have gathered us today? Trying to mock the Nabi alayhi salam, trying to play games, trying to joke with the Nabi alayhi salam, trying to insult the Nabi alayhi salam. This was Abu Lahab, and it was his direct uncle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in that moment revealed the ayat that we're all very familiar with. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهْبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارٌ ذَاتَ لَهَبْ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبْ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبَلٌ مِّن مَّسَدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the ayat that the hands of Abu Lahab is cursed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهْبٍ وَتَبْ. Why was his hands cursed specifically? Because he would take dirt and filth and place it in front of the door of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed his hands for that, and Allah cursed him himself because of how he stood against this deen, how he stood against the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Rabbi alayhi wasallam then calls upon his people again. After Abu Lahab shouts, he says, Ya Bani Ka'b ibn Lu'ay, anqidhu anfusakum min an-nar. O the people of Ka'b, the sons of Lu'ay, save yourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Bani Murra bin Ka'b, save yourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Bani Abd Shams, save yourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Bani Abd Manaf, save yourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Bani Abd al-Muttalib, save yourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Ya Fatima, Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anqidhi nafsik min an-nar, fa inni la amliku lakum min Allah shay'an ghayra anna lakum rahman sa'aballaha bi balahiya. That the Nabi alayhi wa sallam says, even to Sayyidina Fatima, Ya Fatima, save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, because I won't be able to do anything except to convey and give over this message, and with this message you will be given the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the condition is accepting this message of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know, Quraysh, unfortunately, they were very blinded by two things, jahl and pride. Jahl being ignorance, and pride that really took, that was Shaitan's main reason or main fault that he got kicked out of Jahannam, was because of his pride, because he boasted, because he thought he's better. You know, the first act of racism was done by Iblis, by Shaitan, right? When he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنُ خَلَقَتَنِي مِّن نَارٍ وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِّن تِيرٍ. He said, I am better than him. You created me out of fire and you created him out of clay. You know, you find these racist kind of statements that is very familiar and very similar to these type of statements. So therefore, we need to protect ourselves. This deen does not differ between whether you're black, white, red, yellow, even if you're green, you're Asian, you're American, you're African, you're European, you're Arab, you whatever, it does not matter. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everybody equal, like the teeth of a comb. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made each and every person equal. Because of the pride of Quraysh, it blinded them. So there's two things, ignorance and blindness. Pride, at least, pride. The problem with Quraysh is that they did not want to also give up upon what they found their forefathers. This is not the ignorance now. To give up from what their forefathers used to do, that they used to worship the idols, all right? I mean, look at this, the ignorance that they were in, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that what they used to say, they said, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى, that we do not worship them except that it grants us closeness to who? To Allah. So they knew who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet they worshiped, they made shirk, they committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of ignorance. That's why this deen is built upon ilm. This deen is built upon ma'rifa, knowledge, realization, facts. This is what this deen is about. Yaqeen, certainty. This is what this deen is built about. Allah describes what they said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ قَالُوا حَسْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاؤُنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ma'idah, ayah number 4, 104, He says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا, and when it is said upon them to come, إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down, and what came, at least with the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالُوا, they then said, حَزْبُنَا اللَّهُ حَزْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاؤُنَا, it is suffice and enough for us to follow on what we found our forefathers followed. No facts, no proper research, no proper study, not even using their intellect, their mind, their brain, nothing. They're like sheep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they even know whether their fathers knew anything, if they were even guided? They don't, because they never asked, they never inquired. That's why they say, in order to understand something, it starts with a question. The key to knowledge, they say, is by a question. Never did they ever question the beliefs of their forefathers, but they followed blindly like sheep. And of the lessons that we're able to extract is to see that da'wah ila Allah, no matter what the circumstances is. You see the point of this. The last time we spoke about that da'wah ila Allah, you can compromise to a certain extent on how you convey the message, but never can you compromise on giving the message. You get different tools and different methods to give the message over, no problem. But never can we ever give up giving da'wah, because da'wah, it is farz upon every single person. Whether you're doing it just by being honest at work, you know, being a person that is trustworthy, and you're Muslim, this is a sign of Islam, because the Nabi alayhi salam was the honest, he was the most honest and most trustworthy person. It's the small actions that count as well. So da'wah, the methodology, that we can differ, but where can we not differ? That's fard, is to call people this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter what challenges, what situations we find ourselves in, to convey, balighu anni walau ayah, the Nabi alayhi salam says, convey over me even if it be one ayah, one verse, it's enough. If you can do that, perfect. Then you see to the fardiyah, to the fard of giving da'wah. But da'wah, no matter what, because we can see that the Muslimin, they will face a lot of trials, they will face a lot of tribulations, they will face a lot of torture, punishments, pain, harm, all of these things. But the Nabi alayhi salam never gave up. He never gave up. He was facing it as well. The Sahaba were not alone, but the Nabi alayhi salam as well. We spoke about how Abu Jahl would take his foot and push it in the neck of the Nabi alayhi salam, that would feel, the Nabi alayhi salam said, almost as if my head was split. That the head of the Nabi alayhi salam, almost as if it dislocated. The Nabi alayhi salam also went through difficulty and suffer. So therefore, this shows that the importance of da'wah, no matter what challenges we face. We give the da'wah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udu'u ila sabili rabbi, call to the path of your Lord. It's a fard, it's an amr, it's a commandment. So therefore we have to do it. One of the things also that we learn, the importance of family. We know that within society and in communities, the strength lies within the family, the structure of the family, the mother, the father, the son, the daughter, right, the grandchildren, all of these different people, members of the family. Why? Because family is one of the most important pillars within Islam. Family is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh you who believe, protect yourself, but not you alone, wa ahlikum, and your families, from the fire of Jahannam. So here's again an order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show the importance of family, Jamaatul Muslimin, and brothers and sisters in Islam. We will not be able to go forward and change anything unless we change what is in our backyard, what is in our houses, what is with our families, with ourselves. It's most important. important. إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the circumstances of a people unless they change themselves. And your family is part of you, no matter what. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within this events, that shows us as well within His hikmah that these things occurred, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi alayhi is also speaking about the importance of family, because it's the pillar. And that's why the Nabi alayhi said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعَيَّتِهِ, that every single person is a shepherd and you are a shepherd over your sheep. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُونَ عَرَيْتِ, you will be held responsible upon that sheep that you're looking after. الرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَهُوَ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعَيَّتِهِ, that a man is the sultan, he is the one that is in charge, responsible, not better. Sometimes, a lot of times we misunderstand with the terminology, especially we don't come from an Arabic background. In this hadith, the Nabi alayhi salam is not saying men are better, and neither does the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. I know a lot of people translate that ayah as men are better than women. No, it's not that at all. قَوَّام actually means, comes from the word قِيَام. That's why that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, one of his sifat is قِيَام, قِيَامُ النَّفْسِ, الْقِيَامُ النَّفْسِ, that everything depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means that when you say الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, when Allah says so in the Quran, it means that the men are more dependent on, meaning have more responsibilities concerning women, but not better. So ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi alayhi salam says a hadith that a man, he is the one that is responsible for his family, and he will be questioned also about that responsibility on the day of Qiyamah. We all will. So therefore we need to make sure that it's not only people outside, or not ourselves, but our families as well. I mean, no one would want to see their own family being chucked into Jahannam, and neither would we want to see our family go to Jannah and we end up in Jahannam. How is that going to look? How is that going to feel? Can you imagine your heart on the day of Qiyamah if you see your son and your daughter being chucked into Jahannam? Na'udhu billah min dhalik. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. Alright, so therefore this shows the importance of family. We need to make sure that we prepare our family. Get our sons to go to Jum'ah. Get our sons to get up to for the Fajr Salah. If they can go to Masjid, even better. But take them step by step. Don't throw the whole deen. The youth of today, because of the fitness and the challenges that we face, wallah, it is difficult for them. I understand, I'm young. I know it's very difficult to keep upon your deen. I understand, and it is natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed us in this time for specific reason and specific wisdom. Islam teaches us to not be the ideal person or the perfect person. Islam teaches us to deal with situations in the ideal manner. So take them step by step, like the Nabi took the Sahaba step by step, like the Nabi alayhi salam took the Ahlul Bayt step by step, and call them to this deen with goodness and righteousness and softness and rahmah, mercy and compassion and love. That is what this people, this is what humanity needs today. I mean, look at the world and all the chaos that is happening, the killing and the murder and the bombings and the massacres. This world needs love. And that was the Nabi alayhi salam. He was the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed upon this dunya. So we need to make sure that when we speak to our families, and also speaking to our parents, it means also you have a responsibility for your parents. If you're a child and you see your parents are doing something wrong, it's your responsibility as well to not correct them, but advise them. Big difference between correcting and advising, or even to a certain level, just reminding them. Because our parents, they're not stupid, they're not ignorant, they know to a certain level. Sometimes you just need to be reminded in order to make sure that you stay on that path. But we do it with the utmost respect and love and honor. It's almost as if you are, you know, when you make your last salah, like you're going to die tomorrow, and then you will be so sincere in the way you do, you'll be so gentle, you will be so concentrated in your salah. Now guess what? That is how you also have to deal with the parents. Why? Because Allah mentioned them immediately after salah. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, to do good towards your parents, to respect and honor your parents. So when we try to advise our parents, we're not really advising them, we're only reminding them, but we do it the best way, the utmost respect. And if you see that if I'm going to say something that is going, if I see something they're doing something wrong right now, and I know the reaction of my father is going to be, and I know the reaction of my mother, what is going to be, and it might be bad, then don't do it in that moment. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You're not the one that guides, but Allah is the one that guides. So don't think because you are not given that opportunity there that they're not going to be guided. Allah guides whoever He wishes. So therefore, don't give up. If you see the situation, try to understand the situation and try to see, look here, is it best for me to say something now? Look at the pros, look at the cons, and the way, very important, the way that you approach your parents as well, very important, inshallah. And from that, we'll be able to understand, inshallah ta'ala. Also, we see that this, one of the lessons I extract is to also show that this was not something that came from the people of Bani Hashim. Remember, Abu Jahl And Abu Sufyan, they said, what is wrong with Muhammad? They were almost all the time in a competition with the Nabi alayhi salam, at least with the family of the Nabi alayhi salam, right, with Abdul Muttalib. That you found that every time they would think that they're in a competition, so Abdul Muttalib would be more wealthy, and then sometimes they would be wealthy, then they in charge, and then Abdul Muttalib's family is in charge. And this was the whole thing between the clan of Hashim and the clan of Abd Shams and all of these other people, and the Umayyads. So they said that the Nabi alayhi salam is claiming to be a Nabi because at that time Abu Sufyan was the one. As soon as Abdul Muttalib passed away, what happened? So Bani Hashim's influences in different areas started to become a bit weaker. And this is when they took the opportunity to control the market, let's say that. They controlled all the market, the trade, and all of those things. So they said, I mean, now that we are in control, now they come up with a prophet. I mean, what's wrong with them? This is just something for their benefit. This is an agenda, they say. So this is also one of the points to prove, indeed, this was not something like that. No, because if it was that case, Abu Lahab would not stand against the Nabi alayhi salam. He would actually stand with him because it will benefit not only the Nabi alayhi salam, but Abu Lahab as well. He will increase in his trade. He will increase all of these things. He will get the benefit of the family because he's part of the family. But this shows that, indeed, with him standing against the Nabi alayhi salam, prove that this was not something that came from the Nabi alayhi salam himself. This was wahi min Allah azza wa jal. This was a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of his creation. And then inshallah ta'ala we'll end of there, and inshallah we'll continue with the lessons that we extract from the life of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that we all gather in the Jannah, in paradise, with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.